Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Open the boot, take out your picnic hamper and take it easy on the hard shoulder and listen to Jules and Jim's Joyride.
We're deeply honoured, thrilled and delighted to welcome a guest who not only is a dazzling writer, musician, artist, film producer, actor, all of these great things, but also has actually had their face on a postage stamp.
Thank you, but who's the guest?
The guest is Rita Wilson. Rita, it's marvellous to have you here. We'll get on to that in a moment, but just as we came in here today...
Hang on, whoa. A face on a postage stamp, Rita?
Yes.
Explain yourself.
You know, I... am of Greek heritage because my mom was Greek, my dad was Bulgarian, and they honored me with this amazing, I don't know what you'd call it, art, stamp, history thing.
A drawing, a painting.
No, it was a photograph, but it was, you know, mind-boggling. So I bought, you know, sheets of stamps and sent postcards to people from, because it was in a euro. I think it was 1.40 euro or something, international. And so I'm on a stamp.
I had my face on a tin of beans once.
Really?
Yeah, advertised. I don't know what it was. I'm sure it's some advert back in a long, long time ago.
What, your beaming face selling
my
more
face,
beans?
My face, yeah. Yes, behind beans.
And they put your face on there.
Yeah,
to sell
in a star. Really yes. Cheaply done as well. But having a stamp with yourself, you could get through customs quite easily, couldn't you?
Into the country, so good.
Look, here I am on the stamp.
But the thing, just to clarify it a little bit, it wasn't just because of my parents' heritage. One of the reasons I was being honored was because we have contributed to spreading goodwill about Greece throughout the world through our movies. The two Mamma Mia movies took place in Greece and filmed in Greece, and my Big Fat Greek Wedding movies are about a Greek family. So, and then one other one called My Life in Ruins. So I am super proud of my Greek and Bulgarian heritage, but the Bulgarians haven't showed up yet with a stamp. So.
No, exactly. And I think it is true. You have done a great deal for the Greek heritage. And Greek culture is marvellous. I love going there for my holes and hanging out. It's a beautiful place to be. And you have publicised that. But I feel as though that you and I have done that for Deptford, but we have never been so much as offered. No. We're not even on the front of a sort of...
Or a street name.
Yes.
That's what I'd like.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a ski run named after him.
Is he?
Yes.
I'll bet he is.
And now we talk about a lot of things on this, but one of the things...
First of all, I think that people should know that you have some notes written down, but not on a Word document, not on a computer. There's no computer screen in front of us. You have a small, beautiful, elegant notebook about 3 by 5 inches.
Thank you.
And handwritten notes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, look, we do live in the past. That's my... Yeah.
I love it.
And with Jim and Jules's Joyride written on there in my wife's nail polish.
So there's absolutely no expense spent.
Couldn't find a pen.
Very analog.
Yes. And I also like to use these. I think one of the most useful things that I think everybody, my tip, which is what I call my hand.
What does that say on your hand? Junction 8.
It says Joe. Junction 8. Junction 8, one of the motorway services I used
to do that, and I still probably could now. I mean, I'm discounting it, but I would do it, is write down junctions. Because I find it quite often better to write things down on a piece of paper or your hand than follow a sat-nav.
I read this thing, this was a while ago, that remember the old maps that you used to have, and if you were going somewhere, you would look up, it's on grid E1
yes.
or whatever,
yeah.
and you
yes.
would then write your directions down to get there, left turn here, right turn here. and you'd have it all written out. Well, since the invention of sat nav and Google Maps and all of that, the part of your brain that was used to process that sort of information is fading. You because you don't even have to think about it anymore. We're just listening
to instructions, doing as we're told.
Right.
But not here to question or
right.
Just getting on with it. No, I think you could be right. I think that we have become so reliant on sort of just listening to instructions from the phone. If the phone said to you, oh, well, actually, you know, just drive now and you're going to see a cliff ahead of you, just drive straight over that and okay, if that's what you say, I'll do it. Whereas in the old days, we would have looked at the map, we would have read the warning signs, and we would have listened.
But
I think that's what we've been drawn into this whole world where we're given instructions.
Coordinates.
But anyways,
we've lost the part of our brain that deals with coordinates.
And grid
right.
references.
I did, right, now, talking about grid references, I had a record out, an LP out in the charts in 1990. And on the inside cover, I buried three pairs of Chelsea boots around Britain and put the coordinates on there. Two of them were dug up, but there's still one remaining buried. And I think it's in the Lake District. Yeah, because I put all the coordinates in, the grid reference.
But nowadays, what's what Rita's saying? Nobody can read them, so...
No, right. they'll remain there forever until someone discovers them on Time Team or something in the future. But what I did was, I buried them. I just thought it was a bit of art, I think, more than anything. Three pairs of Chelsea boots, buried them with the coordinates on the record. People dug them up. And when they dug them up, they said, I found them, what's my prize?
But that was the prize,
like,
though. I mean,
the boots are the prize. Yeah. Come on. But
just finding them. We were speaking of ghosts earlier, though.
Yes.
Rita, have you ever seen a ghost?
I don't know if I've seen a ghost, but in a house that we lived in for many years, before we bought the house, it was built in the 20s in Los Angeles, the woman who we were buying it from said, and oh, by the way, the ghost is very friendly. So we're like, okay, great, you know, ghost in the house. I didn't believe it. But there was always three very specific things that this ghost did. One was there was a two-story entry. And if you were in the kitchen or the study or the living room, the sound was so loud, it was as if somebody dropped a stack of books from the second floor landing down into the entry hall. It was that loud. And you'd always run out there, and there was never anything there. The second thing was that I sensed it. I never saw it, but I sensed it in our bedroom, and I would actually talk to it and say, okay, I'm trying to go to sleep. Can you please leave now? Because it was not an aggressive ghost, but it was a presence. But the third thing that it did that was so odd was it did not like it when we traveled, and it would set the alarm off.
Didn't want to be left alone.
Did not want to be left alone. But what I did always experience was somebody passing by, like quickly. And if you turned, nobody was there. So we never told our children that we had a ghost in the house because we didn't want to scare them. Just about 2 years ago, we told them, and my older son was like, I know it, I know it, I know there was something creepy about that house. And then he described to me the exact same things that we had described that we had never discussed.
And when you were there in bed saying, oh, can we want to go to sleep now? Would you mind leaving?
Right.
Did it leave?
Did it?
You felt
it. Did Tom leave?
It did.
Yeah, one of you got to go.
One of you has to go.
Yeah.
It did, because I then could go back to sleep, because it was that thing of waking up because you sense somebody is in the room. And I used to think it was my kids, you know, and then I would get up and I could just feel a presence. Again, very unaggressive.
So could you not find out who it might have been? Who lived
there
before?
Woman, yeah, it was the woman who lived there before, and she died there. And I don't know.
So
I didn't know much about her.
Have you ever encountered a ghost?
Yes. Well, I think so. I don't know. You know, I'm still sceptical. I was in a band when I was about 16, and we used to rehearse in an old wood workshop, which is the guitarist's dad's place. So things like planks would fly off tables, and we'd hear footsteps going up and down stairs. One night we were rehearsing and we heard these footsteps and things started going mad, things were flying around. So we ran outside into an alleyway outside, and what I can only describe as an egg, a 3 foot size egg, came out of the doors into the and then disappeared.
Hold on.
What?
Can we, a 3 foot, when you say a poached egg or just, an egg?
No, it wasn't scrambled, nothing like, no, it was just an egg shape.
Well, I want to know, was it farm raised?
Yes.
Now you're mocking, aren't you? You're going to be asking me about Easter eggs and stuff with ribbons on it. Exactly. It was an egg shape.
But do you think this might have been
like
like a mist.
Like an alien presence, perhaps.
Maybe it was an alien.
So you actually saw that, though?
Yeah. I saw that.
Did anybody else see it?
Went to the pub afterwards and said, I've just seen a ghost, in a really flippant way, because I still couldn't believe it. The other two members, the drummer and guitarist, were looking in, and it went through them.
But did they notice that or not? Was it only
No, they didn't see it. It was only me who saw it.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But you saw the egg go through them?
Through them, yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah, and I mean, I think as a drummer and guitarist, quite reliable witnesses, but they didn't see anything. <No. laughs>
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But what about travel? You travel a great deal. I mean, we ostensibly talk about travel this, but we don't really know what we're talking about, and we just blather on. But do you enjoy the act of traveling?
I love traveling and I miss traveling, so I'm actually very thankful to be here right now in England. Even though things are very shut down here, it's still a pleasure to be driving around the city and all of that. I love traveling. I didn't travel until I was 16. I went to Milan because I was modeling there with my mother, and then we met my father and brother in Greece. And the routine in our family was we would charter. You remember how they used to have charter flights, and they were very, very inexpensive, so you could book them for 6 weeks. And my father was of the mind that if I'm going to spend this much money, I am going to go for 6 weeks, because it was an airline ticket, whether you stayed a week or 6 weeks.
Good thinking.
Right. So then they would rent a car, drive down to Greece, and then my mom and I went over to Greece and met them, and then traveled all throughout Turkey, northern Greece.
How?
Bulgaria.
By car. How fantastic. That must have been wonderful.
Yeah. And I think that my dad was very much, he loved traveling and he was always up for going. Same with my mom. But yes, we've traveled all over. And
So were you driving around with them in the car?
Yeah.
That must have been, going across places as well, presumably, that kind
there were
dictatorships and there was kind of
much more of a difficult
time in the world. Did you see any of that sort of thing when you were traveling around?
Well, no, but when we drove back from, well, we went to Turkey, but Turkey was stable and it was fine. When we drove back to Frankfurt, because then my dad was selling the car, that's what people used to do. You would buy a car in Amsterdam or Frankfurt or whatever, and then you would, you know, drive it and then sell it when you got back. So we did go through what was former Yugoslavia, Austria, Germany. But I love traveling. And I think driving is a much more enjoyable way to see a place, because you can pull over, you can have a cup of coffee, talk to someone, get to know a place.
See the sign on the side of the road that says, oh, interesting sort of garden or castle up here, and you just drive up and do it.
Yes, exactly.
If you're on the train, you can't pull the communication cord and hop off and trot off to whatever it is, can
right,
you?
Yeah, right.
Lovely. Exactly.
So I do love that. And my dad, when we were really small, on the summer, my dad was a bartender, but in the summer he would have some time off, and he would drive us to Las Vegas, because who doesn't want to be in 110 degree heat, you know, in the middle of the summer? But what he would do is, we'd leave at 3 a.m. He had a car that I called the Batmobile. It was a Plymouth Belvedere, so it had the pointy fins, and it was a convertible. So the well that would hold the convertible top when it was open became a bed for my brother, and then he would build up the footwells for my sister and I and make like a little twin bed. Oh. So we would sleep there and try to get to Vegas before the heat of the desert would kick in.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. And would he then sort of try and gamble you all away?
Exactly. No, then we would go to the buffets, because they had, you know, all you can eat for $7, family of four, you know. So
we should go there for our holidays. Yeah.
Have you ever had a car with fins?
I have. I love a car. I love fins.
I do, yeah.
The American cars of that period are amongst favourite period.
My friend Colin Self, the pop artist, told me a story once. Now, he's in his 70s, and he said when he was a kid, he said there was Teddy Boys around, and they, in Britain, you didn't have a car with fins, so they used to make them out of cardboard and sellotape them on.
Well, to try and be flat.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Would you like to have a ride in my new Cadillac? That's an old Austin.
Yeah.
No, it's a Cadillac. I'm telling you this. It's a 1950s Cadillac. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So now, I've never had a car with fins, but I have got cardboard boxes.
Let's not forget you have your wife's nail polish for a great paint job.
What did you have that had fins?
What vehicle did I have fins? I had a Buick. And I loved my Buick. And
a
it was,
Buick here?
Yes.
In England?
Yeah, and it was a 1950s Buick. And you could fit 3 people in the front. And they had adverts for old 1950s British cars. And in the painting, it showed you 3 people sitting in the front. But actually, they must have all been 1/3 scale people to fit in. Whereas in the Buick, you actually could fit three people.
Yeah.
It was really...
And the rest. You could get a football team in easily.
And also, just to start it, you just pressed your foot on the pedal and it started up. And it was
slightly
blowing exhaust. It was so great. It made me so happy. It makes me weep just thinking
about it. I've never done that. I've been to America and I've driven around, but I've never driven around in something like
you
that.
You can rent those in Los Angeles.
I'm going to have to do it. As soon as we're allowed,
yes,
that's what I'm going to do.
Are you a car person or not really?
Well, I've had my share of vintage cars, which I do love. I had, for many, many years, I only got rid of it a few years ago, my original 1971 convertible Volkswagen that was all white.
A Beetle. Oh, lovely. Yeah.
And I loved it. And even nowadays, when I see the new Beetles, I think,
The Beetle was a lovely car.
It really was.
No, you couldn't
it
go
felt
wrong.
So great in LA to be driving down, because I grew up in Hollywood, California. So I would drive down with that top down and be a teenage girl with my girlfriends and go to the beach, go to the Rainbow, go to the Roxy, go to all the nightclubs, the Whiskey. And it was just super fun. And it's such a California iconic thing to have, like a convertible.
Well, as a native Los Angeles, California person, that really is motor culture, because the roads are built, unlike, say, where we are here now in Greenwich, where there's tiny roads that were originally built for, I suppose, the sedan chair and the horse and carriage.
An Alton car.
Yes, exactly. And Roman carriages and what have you. Los Angeles is built around the idea of the motor car, isn't it? And everything is like, the whole culture is that. And so the most incredible hot rods and everything are there. People invent their own cars,
everything.
Don't they?
I grew up very near a place called Dean Jeffries. It was walking distance from my house. That was where they made the Monkey Mobile. So I would go down, and on the weekends, you would see they'd be doing something, you know, touching up a paint thing or something on the Monkey Mobile.
Oh.
Sometimes the monkeys were there.
No.
And so one day I'm coming home. Now, I had Davy Jones's autograph. I had Mickey Dolenz's autograph. I had Pete Tork's autograph, but I did not have Michael Nesmith's.
Oh. Circus boy.
And so I'm like, Michael Nesmith's here. And I said to him, Mr. Nesmith, would you wait? I have your picture at home. And if I just run to get it, will you please sign it for me when I get back? And he said, sure, you know. So I run, and I'm running, and I'm up the hill and across the, you know, woods, to kind of wooded area, to get to my house. And my sister's there, and she sees me getting the thing out. She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Mike Nesmith is down at the Monkey Mobile. I'm going to get an autograph."
He's waiting for
me. And she said, "Oh, make sure that you say to Lily." That's my sister's name. And I'm like, she's my older sister. I'm like, "Okay, to Lily." And I start running back, running down. As I'm running, I'm like, "Wait a minute. Why can't I say to Rita? I don't get it." And I get down there and I'm like, "Here, Mr. Nesmith." And he says, "Who should I make it to?" And I said, "To..." She's going to beat the shit out of me. "To Lily."
Oh.
So he signs "To Lily." And we take the picture home. And I show it to her. And she goes, "Oh, thanks a lot." And I got so mad because she was still in the same position that I left her in, reading a book. And so I altered it and made Lily look like Rita. And I, to this day, I still have it.
Oh, nice.
You can see where it's been altered. Nice.
Well, I'll tell you what. His mom invented Tippex.
Well, we call it whiteout.
Whiteout, yeah. So you could have whited out her name and written your name. And it would have had some sort of crazy...
That is so...
Yes. Yes, that would have been so circular.
That would have been... That would have brought it all round.
They call that meta.
Yeah.
That would have been really good.
Yeah, that would have been good. I was at a TV awards when I was first on the television, and I got this award. But the person who was in the wings, I was standing next to, was none other than the acting legend Robert Mitchum.
Oh, wow.
He was like a really big star. And yeah. I'd never bothered with people's autographs, but I thought, well, I can't not get
right.
Robert Mitchum's yeah. autograph. But I didn't have anything to sign. So I said, I'm really sorry.
That's
I said, I'm a great admirer of yours. And I should explain as well. I was getting, I think Roland Riveron came with me to get the award, and he advised me at the awards to wear what in the box it said, the funniest glasses ever made. Never fail to get a laugh. He said, put these on when you get pick up the award, and it'll be what it says there, the funniest glasses ever made. Anyway, it was basically on the glasses, well, in short, sort of a penis nose, basically, is what you had. It's short, and he said that it was bound not to fail. Anyway, I was holding these, about to go on and collect my award. Robert Mitchum was in the wings. I said, would you mind? So I got him to sign an old credit card, which was seemed to be a start or something, at least. And I said, what do you think? My friend says that these are going to be a great success. They're the
you
funniest
said this
glasses
to Robert Mitchum.
Do you think they're going to... He said, sure, it'll work really great, you know, just trying to be a nice guy. Put glasses on, stony silence.
No.
Complete stony silence. No. And all you could hear in the background was the director at the back of the theatre going, cut to a wide shot, cut to a wide shot.
And here's a message from our sponsors.
Jim, where do you get your grenades from?
My hand grenades? Well, the same place as you get your gelignite, I expect. Bomb Alley in Welling.
Oh, for all your explosive needs, it's one shop for bunker buskers, booby traps,
neutron bombs, and torpedoes.
Excellent. When you travel, is food part of the thing you like? Do you like to experiment with the local dishes?
Love, yes. I love that. And I try to do some research before going. I have a lot of friends that are foodie-type people, and they love restaurants. And one time when we went to Paris, I had a list of restaurants that we were told you must eat at these restaurants. And they did not disappoint. Every single one was fantastic. So it's kind of good to go in with a plan.
Yeah.
One time Tom and I drove from Paris. It was the year we got married, so it's almost like a second honeymoon, but we drove from Paris to Rome.
Oh.
And we made it a gastronomical tour so that we would stop in places, you know, along the way that were known for their cuisine.
Ooh, lovely.
And that was a really fun trip.
I went to a restaurant in Paris once. It was called the Grand Vefort. It had an interior that had been, it was like a mirrored, beautiful mirrored interior that was like,
ooh, I love that.
Like, it was like it hadn't been touched since the 18th century.
Oh.
It was the most beautiful room you could sort of ever go in this beautiful colonnaded sort of building. And it was just so beautiful. So the whole thing was lovely. And then the waiter came out, and he looked like Lee J. Cobb, that actor from The Virginian.
Yes.
And he had this, and he had this incredible presence. Took my order, and I said, "Oh, I'm not sure." I said, "What's this one?" "It's the something sausage." I said, maybe I'll have that." "Oh, exceptional choice, exceptional choice." I said, "Oh, thank you." And I felt, I was so great that I had made this choice, and he'd confirmed that.
You impressed him.
Anyway, then it came. And it was just sort of a bit of an old sausage, really. But it didn't matter because everything else was so great. I didn't care. I was just delighted to be there.
I was in a similar place in Paris. I think it's Le Boulangerie. It's that sausage, it's made out of pig's intestines with what was in the intestines left inside it.
Oh, double treat.
And on a similar trip, I had
lovely treats you've been having. Yes.
I thought I'm going to go for this because it sounds intriguing. The temptation, Le Temptation de Saint Augustin. So I had it, which is basically a pig's head inside out, and you've got to pick the very small pieces of meat within it.
Oh my God!
Saint Augustine may have been tempted, but I wasn't.
No.
But on the whole, the French food is...
Oh, it's delicious.
The best in the world.
Do you know about that famous brasserie called Brasserie Lip in Paris?
Yes.
It's right in Saint-Germain. It's on Boulevard Saint-Germain, and it's really, like, old. It's been around forever. And when I was 19, I was in Paris modeling that summer. I had met a girl on the plane coming over, and we decided we were going to meet for dinner. So we went, somebody said, go to Saint-Germain. That's the fun neighborhood where the young people are. And there was a chain, I think it's still a chain, called Drugstore Publicis, which was just like, it was everything. It was kind of like you could get a croque-monsieur and you could get toothpaste and you could get, you know, it was what we would call a drugstore, you know, in America. So we're standing outside and we're deciding what we're going to do. And we meet these two young men. And they're like, why are you going to this drugstore, Boubissi? Come to us. Enjoy dinner with us at Brasserie Lip. We said, okay. So we go upstairs to the Brasserie Lip, and they seat us down, and these two guys come with us. And then they order a bottle of champagne. They order caviar. I'd never eaten caviar, but I knew caviar was expensive. And then they said, we'll be right back. And we're waiting. And we're waiting, and they don't come back. And the waiter comes over, and he starts to uncork the champagne. I'm like, not so fast. I didn't order that, and we're waiting for the guys to come back. They never come back.
No.
So sitting next to us were these two older gentlemen. One was American, and one was French. The American one said, I think you've made the right move. I think that you've been taken. And it was like, I think you're right. It was so embarrassing. It was humiliating. And, you know, we were eating the bread because we're like, you know, so hungry.
Had the caviar been opened?
No caviar had been opened. I stopped the caviar too. Anyways, we start talking to these gentlemen, and the American one said, you know, my nephew is coming over next week. He's studying. He's at Harvard or I don't know, somewhere. And he's going to be doing an internship in the summer. Would you come have dinner with my wife and family and meet my nephew? So we're like, okay, they seem like nice people. We go to the apartment, which was in the 16th arrondissement, which is the area, and ring the bell, and we get escorted up, and I'm not exaggerating, a butler with white gloves. And I come into this apartment, and it is the most spectacular art you have ever seen in your life. And the apartment overlooked the Eiffel Tower. It was just spectacular. We had a dinner, and it was the kind of dinner where the butler stands behind your chair, and they bring the what do you call the covers, the silver plate covers, and at the same time they all remove it. Super formal. His wife was, I think, Scandinavian. The nephew was a complete bore. I actually liked the older guy the best. Well, it turns out that gentleman who hosted us was Mortimer Sackler of the wing of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, but also happens to be the family of Purdue, I think, the ones who are under in America being sued for their knowledge that OxyContin was a deadly and highly addictive drug.
You don't think that the artwork he'd sort of been trousering?
Yeah, exactly. But can you imagine that all of that art that he had in that apartment was the best of the best?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was Picasso's and Manet's, you know.
So you
anything.
Just bumped into them in the restaurant. But yeah, they didn't offer to say, they didn't say, oh, we'll have the caviar, have the champagne.
No, they
we'll
did
pay
not.
For that. Yeah, yeah.
They but, did yeah, not, yeah. But they didn't. They were trying to hook us up with the nephew who had nothing to say, but I'm sure he's a very nice man.
Yeah.
We've been around the world.
We've been
really,
around the
we?
World. We have.
We've
we've certainly been around Europe.
We met one of the monkeys in Los Angeles.
Yes.
We went to Greece where we looked at the postage
stamps.
Oh, no.
Yes. Can we just go back to the monkeys? Now,
yes.
Is that where the Adams family had their car as well? Because which was a hearse with a tower on the back of it.
That was good.
Which I always liked the idea of the most.
There were two competing builders of cars during those days. One was Dean Jeffries that did the Monkey Mobile, and there was another guy in Toluca Lake / North Hollywood that did the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that
was
car.
Another
I
great
wanted,
car.
I wanted
exactly.
the Batmobile. What was his name?
Adam West? No.
Well, he was Batman, wasn't he?
Oh, the designer of
yeah.
the car, you mean?
Yes, I'm trying to think.
Oh,
anyway,
I know.
But that,
he recently just died, like
yes,
5
yeah,
years ago or something.
Yeah, but that yeah. was that original Batmobile was such a great look. That had some fins on it.
Oh, that was major
that
fins.
Had
bat,
a lot
that
of
had
fins.
Bat fins,
yeah.
let's face
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Huge
look,
fins.
Like bat fins that looked like bats' wings on the ends of them, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
So we've been there. We've been everywhere. There's
yeah.
very few places in the world we haven't...
It was one of our most international shows today.
I think it probably is the yes. most. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today. It's been a delight.
It's been an absolute marvel. It's been a delight. Another time, I hope you'll come and play some of your marvelous records and music because we'd like to hear those.
I would love that.
And in the meantime, thank you very much for joining us, Rita Wilson.
Thank you. Nice having Rita involved.
Rita
on
Wilson.
Board.
Well, Rita Wilson was the perfect sort of guest, absolutely impeccably mannered, and took us to more countries, I think, in travelling around in different modes of transport than I can remember for quite a while.
Quite right. No, we haven't been to the Antarctic or Arctic, but I think we probably could. Anyway, there she goes. Travelling back.
The only thing is, I mean, I could say this, the only person I've ever been to the Antarctic who we've had on this show was Rita, but now she's gone. We could have discussed that, but
well,
that's gone
now. Well,
you
went there with her.
Yes. We wrote a song there which Jose Feliciano. If I told you that myself and Rita Wilson went to the Antarctic, yes the very bottom of the world,
yes,
and wrote a song that was later sung by Rita and Jose Feliciano, you'd say you're making it up.
I would.
But I think you'll find it's true.
Rita! This podcast was produced and edited by Molly Stewart.
Sound engineers were James Stewart and George Latham.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.